Good morning. Welcome to our service here at Newport-on-Tay Church. I am delighted to be leading the service this morning on behalf of the worship team. As you can see, we are still worshipping in the hall. Unfortunately, the contractors have been unable to complete the work on the church heating this past week, but we do hope to be back in the church next week. As something a little bit different this morning, I would like those worshipping on Zoom just to give everyone a wave and maybe show everyone else your mug of tea or coffee, not jealous. For those listening to the recording, I would like you just to picture the chaos that is maybe about to happen in the hall. And for those in front of me in the hall, I would like you to turn to the person beside you, in front of you, behind you, and say, "Hello, do you really think we'll be back in the church next week?" Thank you for joining with me for this service. Over the last few weeks, there have been rather a lot of intimations printed in the order service, and I would encourage you, when you get home, maybe not right just now, but when you get home, just to make sure that you have had a read of them all. Please also stay after the service for tea and coffee and a time of fellowship. The great news is, it's a much shorter walk to get a biscuit and a cup of tea today. Our call to worship this morning is Psalm 22, verses 9 to 11. "Yet you brought me out of the womb. You made me trust in you, even at my mother's breast. From birth I was cast on you. From my mother's womb you have been my God. Do not be far from me, for trouble is near and there is no one to help." We start our service this morning by singing a hymn that we've sung before, but not always to this tune. I am, however, hopeful that some of you will recognise it. The words are printed in the order of service or on the projector behind me. It's the hymn, "Christ Triumphant, Ever Reigning, Saviour, Master, King."
Oh,
Let us pray. Lord God, you are our Creator. You spoke and brought all things into existence. We give you thanks for the beauty of autumn days and for the provision of your harvest. You also made each and every one of us, creating us uniquely. Thank you for all the different gifts you have given us, so we can all play a part in the building of your church here on earth as the body of Christ. We are sorry for the times that we don't use our gifts, or for when we forget to do what you want us to do. We are also sorry for the wrong things we have done, said, or even thought this past week. Help us to love you and follow you more nearly, day by day. We thank you for the people in our lives that are special to us and for the places you made that we love to visit. We thank you that you are a great big God and that you hold us in your hands. And because of that, we can take comfort, knowing you will always be with us and help us. You are sovereign God. You know all things from the beginning to the end. Thank you that we can trust in you. Help us to do so more and more. Most of all, we give you thanks for giving us your Son, Jesus, who died on the cross in our place for our sins, so that one day we can be made perfect with you in heaven. And we thank you that you have given us the Holy Spirit to be our helper. Please help us to share this good news of what you have done with others as we step into a new week. And now let us join together with the prayer that Jesus taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. We sing again our next hymn, and for those with hymn books, it's number 470, Jesus Shall Reign Where'er the Sun.
Thank you.
was starting to get a little bit worried because I had seen three lovely children before the service and I looked up and they had gone. But they've just come in the back doors. Can you guys come down and join me at the front? How are you today? Where have you been? What have you been doing? Have you been up to anything exciting in the holidays?
What have you been doing?
You went to Greece? Oh. Are you finding it quite cold being back here?
Yeah.
Now tell me, when you guys get dressed in the morning and you put your socks on, do you sometimes find that you have a hole in your sock? Has that ever happened to you? Because it happens to me as well. Tell me. It's never happened to you? You're so lucky. Well, when I get a hole in my sock, I have to admit that I tend to just throw the sock away. But I know, it was a bit of shock from some of the other people in the congregation, because I was going to say that in some generations gone past, people used to mend their socks. Hands up if you've mended socks. There's a few hands going up there. So it kind of got me thinking that if I was going to, don't worry, I'm not going to mend a sock. I'm not going to darn a sock. But if I was, I would need a needle and a bit thread. Now, can you see in the top of this needle, there's a hole. Do you know what that hole is called? It's called the eye of the needle. And what we need to do is we need to try. This is showing my sewing skills here. We need to try and put the thread through the eye of the needle. Oh, does anyone, do you think you could have a shot? Do you think you would get that through? If I hold the needle, health and safety. First time. Of course you got it. Right, do you want a shot? See if you can do it. First time. Yeah, I think that deserves a round of applause as well. Do you want to try, George? Can you see if you got it? Three out of three. Well, I know where I'm going to be coming if I need a needle threaded. So I found that quite difficult, and it got me thinking about a story in the Bible that we're going to hear about later on. It was to do with a rich man, and he went to see Jesus. And he asked Jesus what he needed to do in order to go to heaven. And Jesus said, well, you know the commandments, and there's 10 commandments. There's ones like, do not murder, do not steal, do not lie, honor your mom and your dad. The young man said, but I've kept these commandments all my life since I was young. Jesus said one more thing. He said, sell everything you have and give it to the poor. Now, the young man was very disappointed. He turned and walked away because, well, he was very wealthy and he wasn't willing to give all this money and all the things that he had away, not even to go to heaven. Jesus turned to his disciples and he said, it is easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than it is for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Now, you guys were very good at getting this bit of thread through there. Do you think a camel would fit through there? I don't think so, unless it's like a really, really tiny camel. But from what I can remember about camels, they're not that small. So that seems quite impossible, doesn't it? But Jesus then said, with God, nothing is impossible. With God, all things are possible. So the next time you see someone like me trying to thread a needle, yes, get there in the end. The next time you see someone trying to thread a needle, or maybe the next time you see a camel, or maybe just the next time you find something that you find quite difficult or you think is impossible, you can remember this story and remember that with God, all things are possible, and we just need to talk to him and have him with us to help. Okay, so we're just going to finish this with a short prayer. Heavenly Father, we are thankful that you are the God of the impossible. Without you, it would be impossible for any of us to get to heaven. We thank you that you are always there to guide us and help us. In Jesus' name, amen. So just before you go and have some more fun, doing whatever it is you're doing, we're going to sing a song. Now, for those of you that know me, you'll know that I do like a good action song. And yes, this one is no exception. So the words are on the order service, but you're not going to need them. So can you guys stand up? We're going to quickly go through the action. So it goes, I'm in right, out right, upright, apologies for the microphone, down right, happy all the time. And then we do that again. I'm in right, out right, upright, down right, happy all the time. Since Jesus Christ came in and cleansed my heart from sin, I'm in right, out right, upright, down right, happy all the time. Easy. Goes just a little bit quicker with the music, and there's a small chance it might get slightly faster each time we sing it. So good luck. Thank you, Hannah.
Our first reading this morning comes from the book of Hebrews, chapter 4, verses 12 to 16. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword, it penetrates, even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give account. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. And our second reading is from the book of Mark, chapter 10, verses 17 to 31. The rich young man. As Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him and fell on his knees before him. "Good teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "Why do you call me good?" Jesus answered. "No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not give false testimony, do not defraud, honor your father and mother." "Teacher," he declared, "all these I have kept since I was a boy." Jesus looked at him and loved him. "One thing you lack," he said. "Go, sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." At this, the man's face fell. He went away sad because he had great wealth. Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God." The disciples were amazed at his words. But Jesus said again, "Children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." The disciples were even more amazed and said to each other, "Who then can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "With man, this is impossible, but not with God. All things are possible with God." Peter said to him, "We have left everything to follow you." "I tell you the truth," Jesus replied. "No one who has left home or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for me and the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age. Homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, and fields, and with them persecutions. And in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last first." Thanks be to God for these readings of his holy word. And our next hymn this morning is hymn 468, Son of God, Eternal Saviour.
Thank you.
generosity, money and abundant sharing, riches and giving it away. The combination of these concepts are at the very heart of Jesus' teaching. The richest person in the world is the person who gives it away. Jesus teaches us to give away love, to give away time, to give away yourself. St. Francis, in the spirit of Jesus, said it well when he wrote, "It is in pardoning that we are pardoned. It is in giving of ourselves that we receive. And it is in dying that we are born again to eternal life." Today's story is known as the story of the rich young ruler. That title, The Rich Young Ruler, is a blending of the same story from three Gospels. All three Gospels tell us he was rich, Matthew tells us he was young, and Luke tells us he was a ruler, perhaps a Pharisee who was a lover of money. If I was the finance convener of the church preaching today, I would potentially be saying, "If you have money, then give it to the church." But I'm not the finance convener, although I do know that he is always open to receiving money for the church. Today, I would like to look a little bit deeper into this reading by looking at some of the phrases. As Jesus started on his way. In this section of the Gospel, Jesus had left the familiar scenes of being in Galilee, near the Sea of Galilee, in his hometown of Capernaum, and was now heading 80 miles south to Jerusalem, the capital city of the land. A man. We will learn that he was a rich man. In the Gospel of Luke, he was called a ruler, that is, a Pharisee, a scribe, a lawyer, part of the educated elite of the day. In Luke's Gospels, he would have been a symbol of the Pharisees, who the Bible said were lovers of money and hypocrites. This man ran up to him and fell on his knees before Jesus. This man demonstrates an enthusiasm for Jesus, running up to him and falling on his knees before him. By reading other stories about Jesus, we meet people who were initially enthusiastic about Jesus and later fell away. Good teacher. The young enthusiastic man starts out with flattery, the way people think that you get immediately on the good side of someone by flattering them. And this enthusiastic young man has learned to begin the conversation with flattery. This is the only time in the Gospels where Jesus was addressed as good teacher. What must I do to inherit eternal life? This is the big question. We all ask the big question. What must we do to inherit eternal life? What are the rules? Who is getting in at the final day? It is interesting that the identical question was asked of Jesus previously by a lawyer who asked in the Gospel of Luke, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" It is that question that became the occasion for Jesus telling the story about the Good Samaritan and showing mercy to your enemy. What must I do to inherit eternal life? This is the big question for you and for me. Jesus said, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but God alone." Immediately, Jesus pokes a hole in his flattery and challenges the young man. Jesus was saying to the young man, "Don't flatter me. Don't focus on me. Focus on God, and God alone is good." It is like flattery gets you nowhere with Jesus. You know the commandments. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony. You shall not defraud. Honor your father and mother. Jesus is clearly spelling out the commandments. "Teacher," he declared, "all these I have kept since I was a boy." That makes sense to us. The young man declares he is normal and respectable. He is Mr. Respectable. He is Mr. Honorable, Mr. Upright. He has obeyed the basic Jewish moral law and has lived a respectable, honorable, and upright life. He is like you and me. He avoids hurting people. Jesus looked at him and loved him. The other two parallel gospels do not report this significant little comment. Jesus looked at the young man and loved him. Jesus had a sympathetic attitude towards the man. He liked the man. He loved the man. Jesus wasn't hostile to the young man. He did not want to embarrass him or harass him or belittle him. One thing you lack. Uh-oh, something bad is going to be said about me. How can you love me and criticize me? Well, maybe you can. We know that often the person who loves us most is the person who is able to speak the truth about us to us. Go, sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Jesus was asking for a positive action from the young man. Do something positive for poor people. In the Ten Commandments, people were commanded by God to avoid doing bad things to others. That is good. That is proper. We should avoid doing bad things to others, but that is not the same as doing good for others, especially poor people. We expect people to avoid doing bad to others, killing them, committing adultery with them, stealing from them, lying about them, defrauding them. But it is something else to do something beneficial for them. That is what this text is all about. The young man was Mr. Respectable, Mr. Honorable, Mr. Upright. He didn't do anything bad to people, but he didn't do anything good for people to make their lives better, to share with those poor people the enormous financial resources that he had. Sell everything. We should not take this literally. Similarly, Jesus did not ask Zacchaeus, who was the richest tax collector in town, to sell all he had and give it to the poor. Jesus did not ask Joseph of Arimathea, who the Bible says was rich, to sell all he had and give it to the poor. Jesus did not ask Nicodemus, the wealthy man from the Jewish Sanhedrin or Senate, to sell all they had and give it to the poor. Nor does Jesus ask us today to sell all we have and give it to the poor. To think such a thought would misunderstand Jesus and the text. Jesus was putting the rich young ruler to a test to see whether he loved God and his neighbor more than money. The test was similar to the story about Abraham in the Old Testament, when God asked him to sacrifice his own son, Isaac. God was testing Abraham to see if Abraham loved God more than his son. Similarly, Jesus was testing this rich young man to see if he loved his riches more than God. This is what the story is about. God is testing us to see if we love our money and material possessions more than God. We remember Jesus' teaching when he said, "Where your treasure is, there will be your heart." The man's heart was in his treasures. Give it to the poor. Poor is a good word for Jesus. Jesus looked with love at people who were poor. In his very first sermon in the synagogue, the first thing that Jesus mentioned in his sermon that day was that he had come to preach the good news to poor people. In his Beatitudes in Luke, we heard that Jesus said, "Happy are poor people." Throughout his whole gospel, Jesus reaches out to poor people, like the lepers, the sick, and the dying. Poor is a symbolic word that symbolizes people who need food and water. Today, many people look down their noses of poor people and often think that poor people are lazy and slovenly. Not Jesus, not the followers of Jesus. Then you will have treasures in heaven. Jesus has told us that before in the Sermon on the Mount. As we give to poor people here on earth, we lay up for ourselves treasures in heaven, where rust will not decay those heavenly treasures, nor will moths eat and make holes in those heavenly treasures. The way you lay up treasures in heaven is by doing positive actions for the poor here on earth. Jesus' teaching is quite simple and direct. Come and follow me. Jesus, in the New Testament, and today in this church, is inviting us to come and follow Christ, that we would be his servants, that Christ would be our master, and we would be his servants, that Christ would own our hearts, our time, and our money. At this, the man's face fell. He went away sad. All three versions in Matthew, Mark, and Luke say this. Why was he so sad at what Jesus had said? Mark said that he went away. When he didn't like what Jesus said, he went away from Jesus. That often happens to us when we hear things from Jesus that we don't like. We simply leave the presence of Jesus, so we will not hear his teachings. In other words, Abraham passed the test, and the rich young ruler did not. Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "We remember that the man has now left, and so Jesus' teachings are now directed to his disciples. How hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God." Notice the phrase, kingdom of God, because we have experienced a subtle shift in focus from what must I do to inherit eternal life to what must I do to enter the kingdom of God. Why is it hard for rich people, people with riches, to enter the kingdom of God, to become true disciples of Jesus? We can think of at least three reasons. One, it is easy to fall in love with money. Money and wealth is seductive and very easy to fall in love with. We become addicted to money and material possessions, and like most addictions, we initially don't realize that we are addicted. Two, wealth creates a false sense of security. We think that wealth will protect us from the disasters of life, and we find out that it doesn't. Three, money often makes people more selfish, where the purpose of time, talents, and energy is to serve ourselves. The disciples were amazed at his words. Why were the disciples so amazed at his words? The disciples knew the Old Testament teachings that a sign of God's blessedness was to be rich. To be wealthy was a sign of God's blessings on you. Jesus was teaching just the opposite religious values that the disciples had learned from childhood. From childhood, they knew that God would bless the religiously wise with great wealth. Jesus said again, "Children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God." Jesus often referred to his disciples as children, people who were learning about the faith. Jesus wants us to enter the kingdom of God, and it is difficult. Jesus had earlier taught that the gate that went to hell was wide, but the gate that goes to eternal life is narrow. This is the second time that Jesus had said this in his text. Jesus wants us to enter God's kingdom. When we enter God's kingdom and way of life, we love God more than home, family, and income. It is easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God. Christ wants us to enter the kingdom of God, where God rules our life as the number one power in our lives. That is what the kingdom is all about, that God would rule us and we would love God more than our home, our family, and our income. A camel was the largest animal that the Jews in that era would have known. It's impossible for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. The teaching was part of his Aramaic exaggeration to make a point. It is impossible. Similarly, it is impossible for a rich man to be saved. And said to each other, "Who then can be saved?" This is the second big question. Who can be saved? Can I be saved? Can you be saved? Who is to be saved? Jesus said, "With man this is impossible, but not with God. All things are possible with God." this statement is pure grace. Salvation is a pure, gracious gift from God. We are all saved by pure grace, not by anything we have done. Sometimes we convert these words, "with God, all things are possible," into a slogan to hang on the wall. It becomes possibility thinking. We can sing, "climb every mountain, ford every stream, follow every rainbow, till you find your dream." We can dream the impossible dream and fight the unbeatable foe and bear with unbearable sorrow to run where the brave dare not go. But in these words in the text for today, Jesus is clearly telling us that we are saved by God, by grace. We cannot save ourselves, but God can. God can save rich people and poor people, good people and bad people. God can save anybody. All things are possible with God. That is, God can save us. It is possible for the rich to be saved. In the Gospels, Zacchaeus was rich and he was saved. Joseph of Arimathea, who prepared Jesus' body for burial, was a rich man, according to Matthew 27:37, and he was saved. Joseph's friend, Nicodemus, was a member of the wealthy establishment, and he was saved. God can save rich people too. Jesus replied, "Truly I tell you, no one who has left home or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for me and the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age." These are the natural loves in life: home, family, income. Jesus is again stressing that our love for God is to be above all of these natural and good loves of life. A person will experience from God great blessings, abundant blessings, overflowing blessings. In this present age, the blessings from God will flow to us in this life, on this side of the grave. And in the age to come, eternal life. God's blessings will be showered upon us in the next life too. But many who are first will be last, and the last first. While a person may be first in this life with honour or wealth, that does not hold true in God's kingdom. Salvation or eternal life is not earned by status in this life. The phrase is used to place Jesus, his grace, and his gospel in direct opposition to the corrupt teaching of the scribes and Pharisees, and is used to refer to the young ruler, signifying that he and others like him, who were superior in riches and honour, were first in this world, of the first rank and figure, should be the last in the world to come. So what do we take away from today? What Jesus proposes to this man is what Jesus is proposing to all of us. Our attachment to money seems a hard thing to let go. That is why following Jesus' words to the rich man, no rich person will go to heaven. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle, because to be rich is the very contradiction of the gospel. The gospel is about conversion from a trust elsewhere to trust in God, about a leap of faith that makes us care about and share everything with others. We must continue pushing our own spiritual and material limits until we are able to detach our hearts from our possessions and turn ourselves to a simple way of living for the sake of others and for God. Let us pray. Whether we are wealthy or not, help us to recognize that money is not everything. Putting you first is the most important thing. Trusting in you and following what you have laid out for us will get treasures in heaven. Guide us and let us know your presence always. In your name we pray. Amen. Our next hymn finishes with a phrase that I mentioned right at the beginning of my sermon. It is in pardoning that we are pardoned, in giving of ourselves that we receive, and in dying that we are born to eternal life. It's number 528 in the hymn book. make me a channel of your peace. We bring to God our prayer of dedication and intercession. Let us pray. Father God, we give our gifts of money to you now, that along with our time and talents, they be used to further your kingdom here on earth. Lord God, creator and sustainer of the entire universe, we thank you that the earth you created was good and pleasing to you. You created all living things, the animal kingdom and humankind, with plants and herbs for food and water to sustain life. You created all people equal, with plenty of provision for all their needs. However, we are sorry that in today's society, people are not all born or treated equally. There are many of us who have, and there are many of us who do not have, in terms of wealth, food, provisions, homes, home comforts, and things which make life safe and secure. There are many of us who benefit from a good standard of living and can enjoy life's luxuries. We pray for those who have no security in life, who experience financial hardship and struggle to make ends meet, who are in debt, whose store cupboard and fridge are empty, and who have to choose between fuel and food. We pray for the stress, poor physical and mental health that injustice helps create. We pray for the struggling neighbourhoods of Scotland, England, Europe, and the other places where the Church of Scotland tries to serve you. We pray that the people of our churches can help each other, making you their priority. We pray for our community, for the unemployed, for those who are employed but are low paid, for those who need to use the food bank for basic supplies, and for people whose housing is below standard. We pray for parents who long to provide for their children, and children who struggle at school because their family is in need. God of justice and peace, we pray for people living in such poverty that as well as being hungry, they feel stripped of dignity and self-worth, with little choice in how to live or plan their lives. People who are existing rather than living, unable to fully participate in society, you know and love each and every one of us. Fill us with the love of Christ to love our neighbours. Give us hearts of compassion to stir us to act on their behalf and give from what we have to provide for their needs. We pray for an end to poverty and deprivation, for a time when people will not just live, but thrive. When people can pray, give us this day our daily bread, knowing that they can thank you, the God who provides. We also pray for people who live in spiritual poverty, who do not know of your great love for them or that you are real. Help us to be your witnesses in telling them the good news of Jesus, to lift them out of the darkness that surrounds them, so that people will experience your love for themselves, and to know that your love for them was so great that you sent your own dear Son to die for them, so that they would not perish but have everlasting life. Dear Lord, in the aftermath of the recent disasters in Florida, many are hurting and communities are in disarray. We ask for your healing touch to restore lives and bring hope to those who have lost so much. May your love envelop those grieving, and may they find solace in your presence. Help us come together as a community to support and uplift one another during this challenging time. In a moment of quiet, we now offer you our own prayers for ourselves, those we love, and the world around us. Thank you that there is a future home for each one of us, a beautiful place where we shall be with you, and there will be no more death, no sorrow, no crying, no hunger, and no more pain, forever. Loving Lord, thank you that you hear all our prayers, for we ask them by faith in the name of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. We bring our service to a close this morning, singing a hymn that reminds us that we need to praise God first and foremost. Praise the God who gave us his only Son that we may have eternal life. The words again are printed in the order of service or on the screen. It's the hymn, Stand Up for Jesus.
Oh.
God's strength. Go and serve those who are struggling. Go and make a difference in your home, family, and your community. The God who knows and hears all is forever with you, and nothing is impossible with God. And may the blessing of our Lord Jesus Christ rest upon us and all whom we love, this day and forevermore.